Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my God, I forgot I was on air for a minute. Today is September 11th. I can't believe it's September 11th, 19 years ago. We were under attack the whole wide world. Was attacked, and you know, nothing quite like we've ever seen before. And then 19 years later, we have this pandemic. And I just think it's crazy that we are, you know, in this place right now. It's just a crazy place to be right now. And I'm happy and obliged to take your mind off of it for an hour, 45 minutes, 35 minutes. And today's guest, I am so excited and nervous. Even though I interviewed her before, I don't know why I get nervous, because, you know, I'm really great at interviews. But Tanya Walker, One Life to Live, Zenner Hospital, you know, I could call her the queen of daytime, the queen of daytime. And you know, I'm just so grateful and happy she's coming on. It's like, you know, people, when I was a little girl, you know, I never thought I would host a radio show. But my love of soaps, you know, kind of preceded everything, you know, in my life. I mean, I love soaps probably more than anything in the world, because, you know, you get these stories, and also, you know, you get to relax for a couple of hours, and, you know, you know, I love it. And Tanya's here. Oh my God, Tanya's here. Oh my God. Okay, you guys know her from One Life to Live as the Amazing Alex, and Zenner Hospital as Olivia Jerome, which we will be talking about, because there's a few bones I have to pick with her. But don't worry, people, it will be all nice. And she's been on Hunter, and, you know, she sings, she acts. I bet she can do it all. So let's just welcome Tanya to the show.
Hi, how are you, Carly?
Oh, I'm great. I mean, you are one of my favorite people to talk with, and if it were up to me, you would be on here every week. But then, you know, I know you have a life,
yeah.
So, you know.
Nice. I wish it was up to you.
Well, yeah, and, you know, Tanya, you are missed in daytime so much. I mean, for me.
Thank you.
I miss you, because your character, no matter what character you played, always you know, made me laugh, cry. I almost wanted to kill you for a moment, but I can explain that, really. Okay, when you reprised your role on General Hospital, what, 2 years ago? I think you were on 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, we taped it in January and February of 2017.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the reason why I got married, you know, Olivia, not telling you people, I did not want triggering that I'm getting married, Tanya. No, I'm getting married, Olivia. Okay. When you and Laura White, who's one of my favorite human beings, and you guys were at Morgan's grave, and she had the gun on you, that was the most powerful scene I've ever seen in daytime. And did I want you to get that? Well, since, you know, I'm a Carson fan and a Carly fan, there was a part of me like, okay, you could shoot her in the leg, and that would be okay, but just don't kill her because we need her back in daytime. And you were so powerful in all your performances. What you did to Mike Griffin, by the way, was, you know, a little crazy. But it's like, Frank Valentini, if you are listening, bring Olivia back. We need Olivia back because, you know, we need those rooms on there. So, and right now I am mad, you know, I'm forever mad at your TV sister, Ava. And I'm forever mad at your TV brother, Julian, because I feel like he used that it was all your fault, and that's why he did what he did. And he went to jail for a half a moment and got away with it. You know, and at least with you.
And I'm still wearing the orange suit.
With you, I think you would be a first ill. And you and Laura White were so great together. And I just remember watching the scene like 25 times, rewinding it. You know, I was so enamored with both of you because it was so powerful. And
no, I can't understand you. Who's
Laura White.
Who are you talking about?
Laura White.
Nora.
Yeah.
Who?
When you guys were in Morgan's grave. And when she pulled the gun on you. And you were in the snow. And you were, you know.
That was tough.
At that point, you were on the ground. And
yeah,
I'm like
begging.
Yeah.
I'm
and I just thought for a moment, you know, this is what daytime is all about. This is what the viewers were waiting for. And, you know, it just seemed like you acting with her and with the whole cast of General Hospital, it was amazing. So if I have my wish, and if you want me to do this, I will treat Frank Valentini obsessively, but I won't stalk him. But I think you need to go back and in the hospital.
It's okay. You
I
can
think,
stalk him.
I think that there's more for Olivia to do. And
I know, and I was supposed to go back in October. And then I told people to stand for the national anthem, and they canceled me. So I didn't know that it was a... Yeah, I didn't know that it was a political statement. I wasn't paying any attention. I was taking care of my husband who had cancer, and I'd gone to visit my friend Pat in Texas, and I just hopped in bed and saw that people weren't standing for the national anthem, and so I tweeted that if it weren't for the lives of the soldiers that have died, for these guys that are getting paid all this money to play a game on Sunday. I wanted to say they could be waiting tables, so they should be grateful. But I said they could be raking leaves, because I had 13 characters left, and waiting tables was 14, if I remember correctly. So then I got a call the next day that said they weren't going to do the storyline in October, and I was called names on the internet, and it was horrible. So I don't know if it had anything to do with it. Frank said that it didn't. But, you know, it's you can't say anything anymore without somebody making some horrible decision about you. And my whole family's in the military, my whole family, my uncles, my grandparents, everybody. And that's all I was talking about was the military piece. But you can't really say that, because if they think you like Trump, they'll kill you, man. They'll call you every name in the book. You get blackballed out here. And I'm an independent voter, so I like some of the things that the Democrats do. I like some of the things that the Republicans do. This was just about patriotism, and I didn't realize that it wasn't. So then I apologized, and I got even in more deep trouble. So it has broken my heart, and I don't know. I don't know if I'll work anymore.
I think that now, especially, you can't say anything without being chastised for it. And, you know, it's like almost not fair, because, I mean, I feel like, you know, I'm kind of torn with the whole NASA anthem. And, you know, yeah, my family, you know, my dad was in the Air Force. My grandfather was in the Navy.
So you know what I'm talking about. It's my whole family. I mean, I saw uniforms from the time I was 3 years old. My Uncle Clyde, my Uncle George, my Grandpa Elkins, and more. It just my cousin Ronnie's now a colonel. But my Uncle George said that he fought so that people could say whatever they wanted. They could stand, they could sit for the anthem. He fought so that anybody could say whatever they wanted, which is really brilliant. But again, I didn't know that they were trying to make a statement. I should have, shouldn't have been so quick to say anything, because I came across really bad, and I came across looking like an idiot that I didn't know what was going on. But honestly, my husband had pancreatic cancer for 4 years.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know you texted me that. That is so sad.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
To go.
And I had to go. I was down there trying to get Abby into her college by myself, because he was too sick. And then I drove up to Austin for a day, looked at Austin for a day with my friend Pat, went back to Dallas, and flew home. And,
I love Dallas.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just think Dallas, Texas is so beautiful.
It's humid, though. And my hair is frizzy enough as it is. So I can't
believe that's true. But I want to say that when you came back in the age, you have not aged a bit. So you don't have to worry about that. And please don't ever do anything to your beautiful face, because you don't need to. You look the same as you did 25 years ago.
No,
in
don't.
My opinion. So please,
no,
please,
I'm
just
no,
pleading
have,
with you
taping,
not
I'm
to
I'm
do
taping.
It because.
Carly, I'm taping this on my Facebook, on my big TV, you know, my iPad, and I have a line here, and a line here, and a line here, and a couple lines here. I don't have a lot around my eyes. I'm very lucky that way, but when they allow people to start giving people Botox and Juvederm again, I'm there, honey.
No, I get the Botox, believe me, but I'm just, I'm 34. I hate saying that, but I am. And
oh, shut up. I'm going to be 60 next week. 60.
Oh, okay, fine. 60. I will set up. But,
oh,
but the thing
my
is,
God. How did that happen? Is all I want to know.
I always thought when you got older, you would be like more happy about getting older. I always thought that when I was growing up. I mean, because when you're a kid, you cannot wait to be an adult. And I tell my nieces and nephew all the time, do not hurry and grow up, because once you grow up, you know, you have responsibilities and everything. And I just think that now people just should slow down. Yeah. And, you know, but I mean, if you want me to, I will get you back. If you don't want to go to the AIDS, I will get you back on something, because America misses you. I mean, so many people tell me on a weekly basis, why isn't, you know, Olivia back on the AIDS? Because, you know, they would love to see a stadium between you and your half sister. And, you know, I have forgave Olivia for the car bombing. See, I forgave her, but I will never forgive Ava for messing with Morgan's pills.
What did she do? I don't watch the show that much because it makes me sad.
Oh, well, I think Zeno Hospital
has... What did she do that you can't forgive her for?
Because she messed with Morgan's pills, and he was bipolar, and that was the, you know, the,
that's the reason,
you know,
he got in the car.
Yeah, and then he got in the car, and yes, you meant to be for, you know, your brother Zillian with, you know, if that would have happened, that would have been okay with me. No, I love him. But sometimes, Zillian, this makes me want to strangle him. But you, on the other hand, I've forgiven you. I think you are great. I love it when they did flashbacks when you came back, because with you and Kimberly Nicola. And, you know, I love when Robin said to Jason or Sunny, yeah, they kept asking about you because they didn't know about, you know, you, because the history finally came out. And I love when Kimberly goes, yeah, you think Ava's bad? Okay, well, Olivia was crazy, but at least you knew why she was crazy. And I love that line, and you working with Kimberly Nicola when she was so young. You were great with her, and...
talented person. You know, the other thing about her is a lot of people... The thing I really
love
about
her... Well, I do my homework.
I'm trying to find a place where I can be comfortable, where I can still get a decent angle on the camera. My favorite thing about working with Kimberly is she was the sweetest... like most honest actress, and she was like so talented and good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She was really a good girl, and she stayed that way, and she's grown and she's become a director, and she's just incredible, and there's not that many people that don't get messed up. There's a lot of people that start working when you're really young, and they get really messed up. And she's not one of them, you know. She's just been Kimberly has just grown up to be an incredible young lady, and now she's got a baby. Does she just have one?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and
well, she was pregnant. She was pregnant when I was on there. She was pregnant when I was on there. That was in 2017, so 18,
yeah,
19,
yeah, she was, I think, yeah, she was pregnant. Yeah, she was pregnant.
Wow.
I believe. Yeah, she was,
yeah,
because
she was.
then have son who is adorable. And I just think that, you know, I mean, I would love to see Mo, you and Minnie Spinard go at it, because, you know, my best friend, who's
my
co-host, who has to take a break from the show right now, loves you. And she's like, wouldn't it be cool to see Olivia and Sunny go at it? And I'm like, actually, it would. I mean, Sunny would never hit a woman or do anything. He might just win you over, you know, for, you know, hurting people he loved. That's all. I mean, in faith, he might just have a very bad talk with you, and then you might have a very bad day. But I just think that the mistake soaps are making these days, that they don't bring in all the family members as they should, when there's a lot of family members from all the soaps that are getting smaller and smaller from the day and the buzzer cuts. And I just
I'm
going
to go see everybody. I mean, I also have, such a beautiful, talented daughter. And she graduated from the American Academy of the Dramatic Arts. I have two really talented But Abby is in Dallas at school, and she wants to go into public relations, even though when I had my acting classes for I had a company when I lived in Connecticut called Tanya Walker's Professional Performing Arts Studio. And I had all kinds of kids, and some of them couldn't stand in front of a group of people and say anything, let alone stand in front of an adult and say anything. And I had them singing and dancing and doing a monologue before they left that class. And that was from age 6 to 18. And it was a big deal for me. And both my kids were in it. And the reason I did it is because nobody was teaching anybody how to do an audition song and a monologue. So I wanted to make sure that when they got to New York, because we were only 45 minutes from New York, hour and a half, maybe it was traffic. And I said, you know, you guys are going to be going into New York and you need these tools. And I told the parents that. So I may do that while I'm here, too, because I really think it's important to walk in with your tools.
Exactly.
But anyway, my kids were great at that. And but Bella has, you know, she caught the bug like me. And when I was in 10th grade, I had the lead in the school play, which was really should have gone to a senior, but I got it. And I left, I joined a band. I was singing in a band every night almost, and in a top 40 band. And then I went to college a year and a half early. I left school because I was allowed to, because I was good enough to get out of there. I was really academically, really into, you know, academics and school and all that. So I went to college at the end of 11th grade, and then I got entered in these beauty pageants, and then I won, and then I knew that was a way to get me noticed and get out here, because that's what I wanted. Actually, I wanted to go to New York, but it ended up being here. And I never went back to college full time. So I have 2 years plus some classes, but I really want to graduate, you know. And so I told Bella all these years when I was back there, because I worked constantly when I got to L.A. for long time. And I never really got to finish school. So I told Bella I didn't really want her to audition anything until she finished school. And she graduated from the Academy of Dramatic Arts, the American Academy here, and she was brilliant and fabulous, and everybody said so. But that only gave her like an associate's degree, and I want her to have the whole thing. So she's almost done, and then I'm going to start parading her around or get her a manager to do that. And I'd love to see her on a soap opera because she's really good, you know.
Well,
and then I'd love to
that is awesome, so
maybe
and
maybe somebody will let us both be on together. Wouldn't that be good?
Well, yeah, and my niece. You know, I was telling her you were coming on the show today, and when she found out you produced the family film, The Doobie Savin,
The Doobie Savin,
Zac Efron See, about died. She goes, can you get him on the phone? And I go, baby, I don't have any connections. Because, yeah, you do.
Yeah,
Tanya.
I haven't talked to him in a long, long time.
Oh,
well,
yeah, that's what I explained to her. I'm like, honey,
yeah,
when they do projects, you know, they sometimes don't connect again. And she goes, but I want to marry him. And I go, you are 16. This is off limits. You not know. And you have, I mean.
I doubt that's going to be happening, but I, you never know. You never know.
So, like, you know, when you go on Huntu, which I loved Huntu. I love TJ Hooker.
I was on Hunter because I wasn't working. It was the first time I'd ever had a break between shows. I went from one thing to the next, one thing to the next. I worked with Joan Collins and John Eric Hexum, which was tragic, and Michael Norrie and Gangster Chronicles and all these different shows. I just never stopped working, and I sang with Hoyt Axton on the road. And I just did a lot of things. I was always working, and then I wasn't. And it was right after my dad passed away, and I thought I was going to lose my mind. And because he would help me, you know, I knew he would help me if I ever needed the money, but my mom just couldn't anymore. If I needed anything. And my dad was 47, so it was really, really tragic and early. And so I just wanted anything. I just was dying to work. So I took this job as like a receptionist. I think I had a name. I had a few, you know, it was a part, it was a co-star part, but I mean, it was the smallest thing I'd ever done. But it was great. And, you know, I made money on that for like 20 years until they started sending me like 62-cent checks.
Well,
the residual
that is awesome because I remember the episode you were in because that was the – I'm a cop and lawyer because I have to watch Law & Order, SUV, Chicago Fire Med. I always had to watch Huntu. And I was supposed to watch TJ Hooker because of my brother, because he fell in love with all the women on there. With, you know, which was okay because it was a really good, you know, show. And, like, I went through, like, all your little, everything you've been in, and I did not remember that you were on Guiding Light. Like, I did not remember that. I'm like, she was on Guiding Light.
I mean, John Conboy asked me to come in. I think it was in 96 or 97. It was right after I got married. It must have been, I got married in 97. So it was after that. But it was very, it was quick because he was on the show. We worked together on Capitol in the early 80s. He wanted me on the show. It was really exciting. And then he had to leave the show. They got somebody else in there. So that was that, because every new producer gets rid of everybody that they possibly can to bring in their new characters. And so that's what happened to Marie. But, you know, Marie's such a sweet name. I don't know if I could have stayed on that show anyway, because it was just too nice.
But, yeah, I mean, and, you know, when you were when you united with Mars, I mean, she was a gifted actress like you. And I always thought, and when I found out she passed away, it felt like a kick in the stomach because she, you know, she was so great. I mean, she was also on The Facts of Life. And, you know, I just felt like, you know, you guys were great together. And I saw a little of Capitol, but since I had to go to school so much in grade school, I couldn't watch it every day. But I did come up with illnesses.
Really, a huge thing because I worked with a lot of older, very established
some very movie stars. I mean, Rory Calhoun and Richard Egan and Marge Duvay and Carolyn Jones and Constance Towers. Connie's still around on GH, though, which cracks me up because she played the best nice mom.
Right now they have Elena Cassadine dead, but who knows? She will probably come back and wreak havoc. Because she's really great at that. Yeah.
I didn't know she died on that show. Maybe she and I could be in heaven or hell doing things. That would be like a one life.
Well, since I've forgiven Olivia for all her stuff, but Elena has done so much damage to every family on there. I don't know where she will end up. But I have my two co-hosts. I knew whenever you and I get talking, I knew this. My best friend Maggie, who usually also co-hosts with us, couldn't be here today. She goes, I bet you go past the 35 mark. And I'm like, I'm not even going to bet you at this point. Because talking. And before I put the boys on with, I'm being nice. I've decided I'm going to be nice until this COVID thing is over. Then I'm going to go back being a little selfish with the guests. But my one question I had for you was that through, all of your career and everything, was there one TV or movie that you tested for and then you end up not getting it, and were you mad? But every time in your career.
What part was that?
Like you've done so many TV shows and movies. Were there ever a part that you tried out for and you didn't, you didn't get it, but you wanted it so bad?
I auditioned for Tina on One Life to Live, and I didn't get it. But then they wrote Alex for me as a result of that screen test. So that was a really big deal. The only thing that I ever – two shows that tell you how long I've been doing this. I was up for Fonzie's Girlfriend on Happy Days so many times, okay, like so many times, and it kept getting down to me and somebody else, me and somebody else. So I never got to be Fonzie's girlfriend, which is very sad, because I just.
Oh my God, that is sad.
And then I auditioned for what else did I audition for that I didn't get? Let's see that I wanted. Dallas. I was up for Dallas. It was always between me and somebody else. Always between me and somebody else. And like it would go from 25 people to like 10 people to like 5 people to like 2 people, and then it was me and somebody else. So I've heard that that's actually a good sign because it means that you're getting that close, you're going to get work. So, and it was true, but I love that show, Dallas. And now they have it on again, or they had it on again. And I just wasn't acting at the time. So, and Dynasty, I was up for a lot of things on those shows, but I was always on another soap at the same time. And it's hard to get another show when you're on a show. But the one thing I have to tell you is I have a website because I found out a lot of women, I know, are sort of quietly behind the scenes buying guns to protect themselves because of all the violence in all the cities. So I want to have a website. So I bought mamaspackandheat.com, and I haven't developed it yet, but I will. And it's going to be, it's going to help people understand how to take care of this, how to make sure it's safe. How to be absolutely positively sure that the kids can't get a hold of anything and nobody can get hurt except somebody that's trying to hurt you. And then it's going to show us going around and getting trained and picking them out and going to the – and it's going to be fun. It's going to be – you know, a little bit of like Beverly Hills Housewives, but the most important part is
awesome.
The safety part. Yeah, yeah. So
awesome.
That'll happen pretty soon. And then I'm going to recut the Derby Stallion if I can, if I have the right to. I own it, you know, but I want to make sure legally that I can redistribute it. So I want to do a CGI of the horse race, because the horse race was it just didn't look right to me at all. And the beginning was a little slow. So I'd like to recut it, and I'd like to redo the horse racing with the CGI in the background. I wouldn't change anything else, just that. So I'm looking at that. I've got all the tapes in my closet, okay? So I need to see if the film is even any good anymore. So I'm planning on doing that. And then I'm writing a show, a sitcom, about a Hollywood actress who gave up her career to get married and have children, and then her husband dies, and she doesn't get what she thought she was going to get financially, so she has to go back to work. So she comes out to California, and she's trying to fight the wars of L.A. After being gone for a long time, and then dipping her foot in the dating pool. When back when she was dating, there was no online anything, and it was just, you know, normal, what we used to call normal. So she's got all those funny things. She finds out she has to wear a CPAP machine. Can't imagine how she's going to have sex with somebody wearing this Hannibal Lecter mask, you know, that kind of stuff. And then she finds out that if she gets married, she'll lose the money that's been invested in Heritage Trust overseas. And so there's this character that's European and sexy and interesting, but sometimes she's got money and sometimes she doesn't. So because this other person has control of it. So it's got a lot of elements that I think are kind of fun, and it'll be great. So I'm writing that with a friend of mine from Canada. And then I've just got this apartment, which you might have seen that it's got the wires hanging down still from the TV, so I've got to get that straightened out. And I just got this new plant yesterday, and I'm just getting in here. This is the Beverly Hills apartment, and then my house is in Palm Springs, and I got that in April. So that's pretty much finished, you know, but that's what I've been doing.
That is awesome, and when it's done, and you know, I will promote everything for you because you're the queen. And I just want to know one more thing, and then I will bring the boys on. It's 9/11 today. Where were you when the world stopped turning? When 9/11? Do you remember where you were at?
Oh God, everybody does. Everybody does. I was in. It's called Neversink, believe it or not, the town. It's called Neversink, New York. And it used to be a health spa. And I would go up there and hike and juice fast. And it was a farm, really, like a real, like, working kind of, used to be a working farm. So it had, you know, vistas in the mountains, and it had, called the New Age Health Spa is what it was called. And we would go, all of us went, Robin went, everybody went. So you could just drive up there for 2 hours from the city, and, you know, you could clean your detox and eat really well. And so I was up there with a friend of mine who was from Cleveland, and she had originally been from New York. And we were at breakfast, and the trainer, one of the trainers who was also a nutritionist, started walking through the cafeteria, or the room we all ate in, or didn't eat in, and started saying that we needed to go look at the television. Now, that there was no television except this one television. It was about 18, maybe 20 inches. I mean, a tiny little thing in a break room of the staff, right? So all the people were like trying to see in this room. And so when we saw the first tower had been demolished, you know, by the airplane. And as we were watching it, we all thought, you know, some pilot really made a huge mistake. I mean, that's what everybody thought. And then when the next one hit the other one on purpose, the other tower on purpose, you could hear people wailing, you know, because their son or daughter or sister or brother or friend worked there. And there were only two phones, and you could barely get any cell service. The whole point of going to this place is to get away from it all, right? And so I'll never forget hearing, you know, the crying and the wailing and the screaming and, oh.
Yeah, it was one of those days where I'm in Seattle and my sister and my brother-in-law moved to New York because they are both were becoming PAs. And the night before they were sucking out the word, they were in the Twin Towers, like having dinner at one of the restaurants. And then so, and I was at that time working down at the Mariners as the elevator girl in the press for the press people, and one of my reporter friends called me, and he really had to go because everything was breaking, and it was 7 in the morning here, and I'm not a morning person, by the way, 7 in the morning, no, and so he said was, Carly, go turn on ABC right now, and he hung up, and I'm like, okay, this better be good for something at 7 a.m. And so I turned my TV on, and at first I thought it was a Spider-Man movie commercial because I was just waking up. And then I was awakened up to see the next thing go in. And my brother came down because I screamed. And he goes, yes, we are under attack. And so I knew from right then it wasn't an accident. And I knew that the word was never going to be the same. And just I felt helpless because no one could get a hold of my sister or my brother-in-law. And thank goodness, you know, because you know, she was working at one of the hospitals waiting for any people who made it out, but, you know, they really didn't have that many people that day. And my brother-in-law was at home, and I finally got a hold of him. I'm like, are you okay? He goes, what are you talking about? I go, the Twin Towers just, you know, crashed into him. He goes, what? Because he was working on stuff. And he turned on the TV. He goes, oh, my gosh. And then he wanted me to call all the family just to say they were okay. So I will never, ever forget that day. And then no, I feel 19 years later, we are in this pandemic. And I just feel like, wow, 19 years, you will never forget where you will. But the year 2020 will be a year no one will ever forget because everyone's been staying home, the way I look at it. So, yeah. And so I better bring on the boys because if I don't, I'm dead. And
it's definitely an attack on our family, on our freedom and our country, this COVID-19 thing. And it's clearly turned into something that it I don't know what people are thinking anymore. But
you do,
allowed it to happen at all. They shouldn't have sent.
I mean,
they should have told the president what was going on. I mean, it's hysterical, but that's neither here nor there. But 9/11, boy, that never. That not only do we never forget, but that's where so much of my, you know, I always was patriotic, but that's where so much of my appreciation
you know, for our country, because everybody else has been attacked. You know, everybody else has been attacked in Europe. I mean, so many. I mean, I don't know. It seems like everybody else had been attacked but us. And that's why we have such an important, it's so important that our defense and military is very strong, because mm-hmm. we want to be able to catch that stuff before it gets here. We want to be able to know those things are going wrong before they go wrong. We need to make sure that never happens again.
Exactly.
And humble opinion. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of other things we have to be careful about, and I understand the climate change and all that, but being bombed and
being bombed,
it's bad, very, very bad. And we do have to fix the climate. We do have to work on that, but this is dead right now. This is dead right now, and I understand that we might be dead in the future from other things. But I'll mm-hmm. never forget that, and it makes me cry to this day. And
I am
so sick to this day. And when I see those people and the children and the babies who've grown up without their family, without their dad, without their mom.
Exactly. It's just heartbreaking. Yeah. And at that time, you were also on One Life to Live, you know, when it happened.
Yeah, I just happened to be away for the weekend.
So, I mean, because I'm friends with J.E.D. Peck, and I don't know if you know him. He's been on Young and the Restless.
Oh, sure I do, of course.
Yeah, we are really good friends. He's, you know, my guardian angel, really. He told me that he was supposed to be on the plane going one of those planes that day, and for some reason he got a call to, you know, go to AMC or something real like happened, and, you know, I call him my TV husband, so, I mean, I have Christoph things on as my TV husband, but then he passed away in real life, and I'm still not over that, but Zayadi is my guardian angel, and when he told me the story about where he was, it was just like, oh my gosh, you came so close to dying. And I mean, for a little while, I was scared to fly. I'm like, but I gotten over that fear, thank God. But yeah, it is a day no one will ever forget. And yeah, for a couple of weeks, there were no soaps. And, you know, there was this crying, people being crying. You almost could hear a pin drop. And since Seattle was also on the list of places they were going to bomb, they closed down everything here. I mean, the Space Needle was on top of the list, so yes. But I better bring the boys on, because if I don't, I don't know. I don't want to know what happens to me. Okay, I'm going to bring on one of your biggest fans, and he was so happy with me when I got this interview. He's just been nice to me for like a whole year. And David, you're on the air.
I am telling you. I just want to call and say hi. I'm a big fan. And I'm in Dallas right now, and I can't really talk. So you're always welcome back. I'm just a big fan of yours.
Oh,
I'm in Dallas right
you,
now.
Honey. Well, great. So, okay. You're in Dallas,
yeah.
You're
saying? Yeah, I'm in Dallas.
Where my baby is. Where my baby girl is. She's at SMU.
Well, actually, I'm in Florida, but I'm in Dallas right now. But
I'm sorry. I didn't understand. All right, well, have a good time.
Yeah, I just want to say hi. I hope I get to talk to you soon again.
You betcha. Thank you.
Thanks, Cardi.
And is there anything else you want to ask her, David?
No, I have time.
He doesn't have time now. Sorry about that. He's got to do something else.
Well, yeah, he's just one of your biggest fans, and so I'm outing him. You know, he loves you. He totally adores you. And, of course, when I say that, embarrass him. He hangs up, of course. And now
I wish I could stay on the phone longer, but I'm running out of time. So I just want to say hi.
Bobby, do you have any quick questions?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Tanya, I just wanted to say
you're
welcome back. I'm doing fine. You're welcome back to General Hospital because it would be great to have an old friend with Kim Delaney now being Lois on General Hospital because it would be great to see a Olivia Lois showdown.
Well, I would love to see it too. So I don't know how to make it happen, but if you guys call in and you know, you can carry signs. I don't know.
Yeah. Because if I recall, were you on there the same time she was on All My Children?
Which one?
Well, Kim Delaney, who's now Lois on General Hospital.
What's her name?
Kim Delaney.
Kim Delaney? She's on GH?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's coming.
Wow, you're kidding me. I didn't know that. Wow.
Was
she
on,
All
My Children
at
the same time?
Nighttime stuff.
Yeah, but was she on All My Children at the same time you was on One Life to Live back in the day?
No, not that I remember, because I would have remembered that.
Oh, so you never met?
No, she was on big time TV, nighttime TV stuff. And she was gorgeous then, and I'm sure she's gorgeous now, so I'll have to tune in to see her.
All right. Well, you never know if there might be a Lois Olivia showdown down the road. But can I tell you
how much I would love to be back on there? But, you know, I just have to take it the way it comes. I really like to do Young and the Restless. I started watching that show when it started, and I've been wanting to be on that show since day one. So it would be wonderful if I had that opportunity as well. So we'll just – and I love Days. I mean, I love all the ones that are left. Unfortunately, there's not a lot left in the daytime. They're all on at nighttime. Everything on at nighttime is a soap opera. My favorite, though, is Outlander. Holy cow. If you haven't seen that, you need to see that show.
Okay. Well, that's all I have to say. I'll just let Carly say goodbye, and I'll just say goodbye.
Thank you. Of course, we would love to have you back anytime, Tanya. So if you have a project or if you just want to rant about something, just come back because we would love to have you. And I'm really, really sorry we went over. It was all my fault. Once we started talking. And please come back again.
Follow me. I will. Just follow me on Real Tanya Walker on Twitter. And I think it's Real Tanya.
I sent you a Facebook message already, so check it out.
Thank you. Anyways,
you have a good day and take care.
You too. Okay, God bless.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you. And I'll talk to you as soon as I can, okay?
Okay. Bye-bye.
You did a great job.
Bye.
God bless. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So,
I understand David's situation, and I hope that everything goes well. And I understand that he can join us today.
Yeah, Bobby, I wanted to ask you.
Nothing was interrupted this morning for they just showing Ryan Kelly in our area because it comes on late at night now as well as in the morning, and it didn't show the 9/11 activities other than at 8:45 during the local news with the moment of silence at the White House. So they didn't show the 9/11 activities.
And I want to say, you know, I'm grateful that you hung around so I would not be on the phone by myself after the interview. But I just want to say that where were you when 9/11 happened?
Oh, gosh. I went away to a doctor's appointment, and I saw the second tower go down, but I didn't hear anything about a plane crashing into the building until I turned on the radio, and I thought first it was a small plane. I thought this can be easily fixed. When I found what happened later with the Pentagon and then what happened in New York, and like one of the visitors or tourists, I don't know who he was in New York, said when the first plane came in, pardon my language, and he said, "Holy shit, I knew something bad was going on."
Exactly, and, you know, I just think that, you know, the way
like you were saying to Tanya a minute ago, you was kind of afraid for flying for a brief time. It took me a while to get over that because I flew the next year, 8 months after 9/11, from RDU to Orlando to go to a cruise in the Bahamas, and I flew back, and everything went fine. There was no problem at all. And when I flew from RDU to Philadelphia in 2004, where to go to Atlantic City, there was no problem at all for me flying back and forth.
Exactly.
Other than just getting a snack of peanuts and drink, which I was kind of understanding because I'm not in first class and was short flight anyways.
Well, yeah, and I just think back to that day, and now 19 years later, we are in this pandemic, and I think about how the Crown at the White House, you know, pretty much said that, you know, people, you know, lied about what was happening. And now it came out on Wednesday that he knew about this virus in February. And he chose to keep it under wraps because he didn't want to panic people.
Right.
People will always panic, Bobby.
I said this before when he was being impeached but not being removed from office. He's going to end up like Richard Nixon. If he wins the election this year, he's going to end up like Richard Nixon. He's the next Richard Nixon. He's our Richard Nixon.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I am just sick and tired of everyone telling me, you know, yes, I'm a Democrat, okay? And, I mean, I used to go for the person and not the party. But since 2016, and our life has changed, not for the good, but for the better, I mean, for the worse. And...
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry if people don't want me to call him a clown, but he is one. He has no class.
Right, in fact,
he goes after Biden, saying that Biden is a racist, a rapist. No, this has got to stop. Joe, you need to go after him. The gloves are off. And
yeah,
I just want to say that, you know, we are coming on our 11th year, even though I couldn't do the show last year because I got sick. But we are coming on our 11th year on Daytime After Dark. And for all my haters out there, well, I'm not going anywhere. We are not going anywhere. And the reason why Maggie isn't on the show right now is medical. It's nothing else.
Right,
Maggie and I talk every day.
She's in my prayer.
And, you know, for
and
all
I wanted
those
to say
people,
one more thing about the guy in Washington.
I've seen
before the football game last night.
Mm-hmm, may I just finish one thought? For all those people that says that my show would not last, I went through co-host more times than someone got dressed in the day. Well, you know what? I've been here 11 years. And, yeah, do I wish sometimes we get more callers? Yes, of course I do. But that's not why I do it. I love interviewing people. I love talking soaps. I love talking football. I love talking politics.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but the way we all, as a family on Daytime After Dark, and the way we all, like a crazy family, yes, of course we fight. Of course we disagree. But we all love each other. And, you know, that's better than anything else. And I just want to say, I haven't watched the Eight this week, but as I go on Twitter, and they are making me pissed off by saying that Jocelyn had no right to be saying goodbye to Mike. Where was Christina, whatever. And my thing is, Jocelyn has lived with Coulson. You know, and Mike accepted Jocelyn as a granddaughter. And the Coulson family did nothing, the Clinton family did nothing, stepsister or half brother, half sister, they are a family. And so for everyone on Twitter today criticizing that, it's like, you know what, maybe Lexi Angel was busy that day, and right now they only are shooting so, like, not a lot of people, you know, one, because of COVID. And so don't criticize that with me, right, Bobby?
Right. And I do want to say one thing going back to the guy in the White House. Last night while I was watching the football game, before the game, actually, they aired a buy-in ad, and I thought that was pretty good because I thought he's a man. Well, then the next minute, they aired a Trump ad saying everything about how Biden's handling the virus and everything. And it reminds me of those racist ads that have been directed both to him and Harris and towards him about how he's going to defend the police. I've been seeing all the time on YouTube when I'm watching a video on YouTube or something else when it's streaming before I have to watch the show. So I say enough with these attack ads because you're going to get this guy elected again if you keep this up. It happened with Hillary. And like I said earlier, he could end up being like Richard Nixon if he ends up resigning, because this is like our Watergate.
And the thing is that I just enjoy what we are doing. And, you know, if our show has become an interview, so I don't care. We are blessed to be getting all these interviews. We are, we are doing a great job. We are, we are bringing it out. And I don't care, you know, what other radio shows do, except for Jasper says. So, you know what? And yesterday, yes, I tweeted about Carlson's family, and I had a brain fart. And I forgot to put Michael in the mention because my brain, I mean, it wasn't intentional. It was like I wasn't thinking kind of day. So, right now, you know, I want to say one more thing. Everyone, please pray for California. Please pray for Oregon. Please pray for Washington, where I am. The three states have wildfires, and
right. So
all of them,
right.
You know, and my brother and sister-in-law are on the line, and, you know, the line of bye-bye bear. And if the wind goes a different direction, then they will end up going to my sister's house. But I just, in my hometown, Oregon, you know, seeing the pictures, that is devastating me. I love Oregon. I miss it.
From California.
Yeah,
I
California too.
From California.
But I grew up in Oregon. I grew up, and essentially I'm still a country girl because my grandparents had a farm. And yes, I named every, you know, every animal on the farm. And there's a quick story. They had this cow that was black and white, right? So I named it Michael Jackson. Okay.
I think you told that story before, because I remember you telling the story. And you were to a guest or to me, Maggie, and another person before you joined the show.
You know,
I can't remember his name.
When you know, I will introduce the cows to my grandfather's friends. You know, you know, they go, "Oh my God, that is so bad that you named it that." And my grandfather loved me, and his wife. It was a funny name. She comes up with a really funny name, and she was just being funny. She didn't mean anything by it, and. You know, my grandfather will always kind of lie to me because I did get attached to the cows and the pigs, and he told me they went to some other farm. And until I was about 16, I didn't make the connection. And like growing up, driving the tractor, summers were amazing there because it was like, it's not like it's now where the time, I have to watch the time for interviews. Growing up in a slope piece on a farm and you drive tractors, you do the hay season, you get a bunch of corn because my grandparents had about, I don't know, 200 things of corn every year. And you would think I would be scarred for life that about corn, but no, I love it. And I just miss the days. I just miss the days where, and so please, everyone, pray for Portland.
Right.
Please pray for Washington. Pray for California.
I
think wildfires at the same time as the pandemic is crazy.
Right.
And,
yeah, I know. Well,
you know,
football
and,
is back on football back on Sunday, and I know the Seahawks are going to be in Atlanta. That's on Fox, but we're in this area is going to get the Philadelphia-Washington game instead because of the fan base we have with the Washington football team. And but it's on Fox because the Panthers game with Las Vegas is on CBS. So
and today,
that's about
and today
1 o'clock
the
my
air
time,
quality.
Which is 10 o'clock their time.
Yeah, the air quality is so bad. I didn't know I had one to the bank this morning, and then I went to McDonald's, and but the air quality here is so. You know, it's so, you know, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So as we end the show, I'm going to play Aaron Jackson, Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning? And that's how we are going to end today's show.
Well, I'll talk to you next week, Carly.
Yep, and
What's the next day, by the way?
What are you doing this weekend?
Well, I've been watching a lot of football, mainly with the Panthers, because we can't get the Seattle-Atlanta game because of the fact that they gave us Philadelphia and Washington, and the Panthers game is on CBS, and that's completely opposite, because some parts of North Carolina will get infomercials. We in Eastern North Carolina will get the Eagles Washington game. We can't get the Bears game either. We can't get the Bears game either because of the region we're assigned to.
You know, before we go to Sunday's the 13th, right?
Sunday the 13th,
okay,
and the Seahawks play at 10 a.m.
Yeah, I'm playing the Falcons.
Atlanta.
Oh, shit. Right. You know, sorry, just real, but September 20th, we play the Patriots.
Patriots,
yeah,
on Sunday night.
But it's
and
a Sunday night football, and
I'll be watching that game because I'll be probably wearing my Cam jersey the first half and then falling asleep in my pajamas. Because I still
and,
have a Carolina Panthers Cam Newton jersey. But as far as the
and also,
other games, so
also,
I think that's what we're
Chicago
talking about. I can't get the Bears game in, so I can't text Maggie.
The Lions on Fox.
Right. We're not going to get that game in unless there's a blowout in the game between Washington and Philadelphia. We're not going to get that game or the Falcons-Seahawks game unless there's a blowout and they decide to switch because CBS
then,
got the Panthers game. But it's supposed to switch over by about 4:25 to the Tampa Bay game with New Orleans.
And then Miami Dolphins are playing the stupid Patriots. And I don't like the Patriots, so you know how I feel about them.
Well, I'm going to turn
so, yeah,
well,
so, and this weekend
I'm
getting caught up with everything, and I'm sleeping too. But thanks, everyone, for calling in. And so I'm going to play Closing Out. Aaron Jackson, where were you when I will stop tuning in?
Okay.
Have a great Friday.
All right. Goodbye, Carly.
Okay. Bye.
Previously, we were doing a lot of manual tasks, and it was taking a lot of time every day to do the basic proactive tasks.
So, everyone, have a great weekend.
Tonight, Alan Jackson is a nominee for Forbes for his bid. Go out and
by you lay gone. If you turn off that violent old movie you're watching, turn on our love series on. If you go to a church and hold hands with some strangers, stand in line and give your own love, did you just stay home and cling tight to your family? Thank God you had somebody to love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch the end, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things he gave us. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch the end, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus and I talk to God, and I remember this when I was young.
Everyone, have a safe weekend, and remember what happened today, and pray it never happens again. Okay, have a great weekend. Signing off, and just relax, and be nice to everyone on Twitter, and wash your hands. Okay.